All too often, pain in ridden horses is labeled as bad behavior. The apparently sound horse is naughty, lazy, difficult, explosive, spooky, nappy, and more. These labels are wrong. Pain impacts all aspects of a horse's performance, including its partnership with the rider and its potential to progress. It does not always create lameness. Relieving pain can lead to greater potential, a deeper partnership, and improved performance. In the recently published book, Harmonious Horsemanship, Use of the Ridden Horse Ethogram to Optimize Potential Partnership and Performance, Sue Dyson and Sue Palmer share their professional knowledge and experience. Check it out. It can be bought from Troubadour Book Publishing or Amazon.
Welcome to Conversations in Equine Science. My name is Kate Acton and I'm joined by Nancy McLean, and this is the podcast where we take equine research and try and make it accessible to horse owners and enthusiasts alike. Remember that with each topic we discuss, it's important to get professional advice before implementing any of the strategies.
This week, Kate and I are going to be discussing my trial here at the farm on the massage study that we talked about in an episode that aired August 2nd. Now, the name of that paper that we were reviewing then is called A Short-Term Hind Limb Massage Program Can Improve Gait Symmetry in Riding School Horses. The authors are C. Mabbitt, K. Yarnell, and R. Farrow de Godoy. Now, this was a 2022 paper, so pretty recent, and it was, you could do a short massage program on the hind end of the horse, and we'll talk about what musculature is affected, and you could do it once a week for 10 minutes each side, and it was surprising there were results to this. We reviewed the paper, and the paper, through measurement, had, I thought, pretty impressive results for that short of time. So you did once a week for 3 weeks. You measured them on day one, and then that fourth week, you didn't do a massage, but you measured or assessed them on day 28. I did have to make a few changes because I only had 4 horses in the study. So in the actual paper, they had 15 riding school horses divided up into 3 groups. What I did was I put all 4 of my horses in the massage study, or the massage group, and then I waited a month, and then the next time we did the grooming or the sham massage, and it's grooming the horse 10 minutes each side once a week, and then the other group had nothing done to it. It was the control group. And Kate, you did kind of like this paper, if I remember correctly.
I love this. That's why I'm so excited for this episode, because I think we've touched on a couple of papers that we've implemented or that you've certainly implemented on the farm. But to me, this had such exciting results, both in the paper and actually from like your feedback, which we're going to cover in this. So and it's something that I just think is so accessible to implement for everyone. So that always really gets me going, I guess, because this really embodies the purpose of the podcast. Like, we love to read papers where we can try and disseminate some knowledge to be able to help people to do things better with their horses. So in the paper, they obviously saw those improvements in stride length and in the protraction with the horses that were in the massage group. And they saw that at walk, with hock flexion significantly better as well for the massage group by day 28. And then in trot and canter, they saw hock flexion was improved again in the massage group. So from that, they determined a short-term massage program to the proximal hind limb improves gait symmetry, particularly hock flexion within riding school horses. And we talked before about how this could possibly be utilized. If you haven't had a listen to that episode yet, then I highly recommend jumping back and listening to that one before finishing this. But you've put in a lot of work, Nancy. And I think last time we touched on reviewing it, you were telling us some of the positive impacts you had seen at that point.
Yeah, and it was a difficult commitment because it was 100 degrees here and it was in August, and I would start one horse, one massage on Sunday night, and then go on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then you rested until week two. Do the same thing, same horse, same day, same length of time. You did 2 minutes of a fleurage, which was the long, light, or firm strokes. And I did it along the growth pattern of the hair coat. So, and then you did 2 minutes of cross fiber, which the cross fiber, it's firm and you're going across the muscles and you can really feel little tightness areas and even maybe little adhesions, or, you know, it was surprising to me how just having this commitment for those 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I really found out a lot about the anatomy of each individual horse's muscle groups. And then you did a fleurage again for 2 minutes, and then you did tapotement, which that didn't go so good for the thoroughbreds or the pony. So that's your cupping in a percussion type manner, and none of them liked it.
And then, I would have thought that would have been something that a thoroughbred probably wouldn't have tolerated great, but to hear the pony wasn't a big fan of that either is really interesting.
She moved her rear end away every time, so I knew, okay, the cupping they did was not going to work. So I looked up some other ways to do tapotement, and there's hacking, which is like karate chop. Not going to work. That didn't work either. And then beating is where your wrists are real flexible in your fist, and you're just kind of using your pinky, below your pinky area of your hand, to lightly beat on the horse. Not going to work on a thoroughbred for sure. And the pony didn't want it either. Tapping with your fingertips. Now, these are all downward motions. The fifth tapotement is plucking, and that's an upward motion, and they all tolerated that. So in the paper, they did not do plucking. I had to integrate that in because they did not tolerate any of the downward stroking in a rhythmic pattern. So that was what you did. And then
did you do the plucking technique?
You have your fingers and you just lightly brush the skin, because in August their hair coats were pretty slick and smooth, and you just kind of did a wispy, like almost like you were lifting something or plucking feathers, but there's no feathers there. And I did not grab the hair coat. So it was just a wispy upward movement with my fingers along their skin. So and they did tolerate that, and they were real still. So I did not think my one racehorse that has a stereotypical behavior, he's a weaver, I did not think he would tolerate any of these massage motions or movements or anything, because he's hard to groom, because he's so fidgety all the time, and he wants to take a nap and be left alone. It was really surprising, though. I started with the pony on a Sunday night, and then I did his neighbor, which is a gelding we had on the racetrack. It's a thoroughbred. And by the time of that second night, he was really, really settled, and I hadn't even gotten to him yet. So on,
I found that so interesting when you had told us that on the last update, like just the energy that changed, obviously, in the barn from doing the first few horses.
It was amazing. He was very, very calm. And I noticed the weaving was starting to be minimal. And so Tuesday night, I went into him and, you know, still thinking this is going to be a chore. I might have to tie him up. But none of these horses were tied up. I did this with them freestanding in the stall. He accepted it very, very well and even had his head dropped.
Wow.
And that was encouraging. And then the fourth night, it was Wednesday night with Greta, who soon will be 27, and she absolutely loved it. Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to go ahead and, Kate, did you want me to go ahead and start on the results, or should I list the muscle groups?
Yeah, we might go through the muscle groups, actually, just to give people a refresher.
The gluteus superficialis was, this is all hind end only massage. Gluteus medius, tensor fascia latae, semitendin osseus, and if I'm saying this wrong, Kate, correct me, biceps femoris and gastrocnemius muscles. So in the gastrocnemius is by the adductor behind or caudal to the stifle. So kind of like, to me, that would be more like a hamstring in a human. And I tell you what, I had a lot of good results with that one. So, you know, just hind end, doing it 10 minutes each side. You didn't even go past. I would say we're not even going past just in front of the sacrum.
Yeah.
You know, so you're strictly staying back there. I can't believe the results, though. I'll start with Greta. You know, she's old. She's doesn't move like she used to. Do I work her a lot? Not really, maybe once a week because of her age. So one of the things I saw improve right away is her range of motion. So she would kind of have a droopy rear end or one that wasn't really engaged. And right away, I saw by probably the second or third week for sure, she was engaging her hind end and springing like she used to. And the amazing thing was she started to put on weight, and she's always been a lightweight. Even on the racetrack, she would really, really be off her feet after races. So we were constantly trying to keep groceries, you know, going into her. You know, I mean, she was a tough one, and still small body as an older horse, but her whole life never had any obesity problems or anything.
Do you think then, Nancy, that the, like her being easily off her food was, again, a stress-related thing, or if she felt nervous energy, you know, she, because if it happens after races as well, that's a lot of intense energy that she's coming back with. And that the massage maybe dissipated some of that, and that's why she started to eat more?
Well, I think she had a little bit of arthritic pain, is what I'm, now no proof of this, but all of us, and she's always been, since she's been retired, a good eater and cleans up her food and everything. I did notice that You know, I think she was able to metabolize her food better because maybe, Kate, you're onto something that she was able to feel more relaxed. But I think it also relieved and improved any arthritic joints.
Yeah. And if she felt a relief from an underlying pain, then certainly she would be eating more as well.
Yeah. And I think too, I don't know, there's no research I can find on this, but I think as they age and you're not doing something with them, even just on the ground, I think muscle memory is a factor. I think when I first started, to do the massage, it activated some of those hind end nerves and muscles. And I think then when she would go into the arena, my God, she felt like she remembered.
Yeah.
No proof though. I mean, I'm just, thinking how sometimes when I do a new exercise, it's, you need muscle memory to even riding. Muscle memory as you get older is something you want to keep going and you want to keep it active in your brain. And I wonder if it's that way in horses too, because she really came around. She really looks good now. And, I am not massaging them right now. It's just kind of like it did a springboard for her into putting more into her exercise sessions. And they're not hard sessions by any means. Sometimes I just, put her on driving lines and we do ground poles in the arena and things like that. So the next study I'm going to take on through the winter is that dynamic mobilization exercise paper we did.
Because the benefit of movement into older age is, it's so, so important. And it does help off put that arthritis, just keeping the joints healthy.
Yeah. And then I've measured her epaxial muscles with a flex ruler that architects use, and you kind of mold it. And she had a half inch improvement that day 28.
Wow.
Oh, I thought that was a lot. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but that she was, I think, I had a body worker tell me that sometimes if they have arthritic pain, they'll look lean in that epaxial area because they're feeling a little bit of pain. And when that goes away, it's like they blossom again and they're able to engage that area. Now, I will say she did have back issues on the racetrack that we would lay her off for like 10 to 14 days to have her recover. So it could be past injuries from the racetrack as well. But anyway, I was really pleased, and probably I will find a massage program for her that benefits her from pole to sacrum. And I think I kind of like the effleurage. I think they love that. I think the cross fiber works well, but I also like some of the other massage techniques. So I'll have to find one. I did try and do 5 minutes on each side with her. That not the same. It's like that 10 minute is they
the
really
sweet spot.
Yeah, they honed in on that with this research, I think.
And then who was the next in the line in the barn?
Well, the pony. The pony doesn't, she's
Moana,
young.
Moana, isn't it?
Yeah, Moana, yep. And the thing that helped her so much, she's a little wide. So she's, her hips always tend to not really flow underneath her like I would like. So I saw her hip flexion improve. So when lunging, even I would take a video, and before she kind of had a little choppy go to her, and she always has. And then by day 28, she was taking that hind foot and placing it closer to where the front foot had been. So she's not, I think, built to be like a dressage horse that can put that back foot into the front footstep.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's closer. So I saw that hock flexion was better for her. Not so much at the walk, but definitely at the trot and canter. Now, before the massage, sometimes she cross-fired when I would ask her to pick up the right lead at the canter. She stopped doing that. So that was a big plus for me that made it all worth it.
What do you mean by cross-fired, Nancy?
She would start with the right four in the canter, but the left behind. So that's a crossfire. And when I did the hind end massage, every time I asked for that right lead, she picked it up perfect, both
okay
and back.
So she was leading with the wrong leg initially.
She would do the right, she would do the front correctly, but you would feel it behind. She wasn't coming. She
didn't have- I get you now. Yeah.
Yeah. So that stopped with the massage. So with her, maybe there was an issue there that I was not aware of. When I had bought her, they had said that she, you know, had once in a while an issue with that. And anyway, the massage, you know, completely took that away. And I just got done exercising her before I came on this and picked them both up right away.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, just, and to think 10 minutes each side. Once a week for 3 weeks. So, and I will add, I do groom my horses every day, but I don't groom them 10 minutes on each side. I just
It's a good caveat to throw in that they are groomed.
So, and then the other one was Dreamer, which, you know, he's a war horse. He never has anything wrong with him. And so I didn't see as much improvement with anything with him, except in the trot, his back end had more spring in it. So, and all the thoroughbreds have been ridden hard on the racetrack. So they've all had 30 plus races. I think Dreamer is a war horse. Him and Angel might have had over 50 starts.
Wow.
You know, that's...
old is Dreamer now?
Dreamer is 17.
Wow. So
Angel is 16. And Angel, I saw the biggest behavior improvement with him, and it's the weaving. It completely stopped. So by day 28, he was not weaving. Now, by the next week, he started again. So I think the body worker hit it on the head that he's got a nervous disorder. His nerves were being calmed and he stopped weaving. And I did go to the an AAEP body worker, and they did list that a lot of stereotypical weaving is from stress, tension, you know, and they don't lose that. And so anyway, maybe this massage helped with that. It's the only new thing I was doing.
And with Angel, you said you saw the improvement. The weaving slowed when the first two horses had the massage done. But when did you notice the weaving stop? Was that after the first week of massage with him?
After the first week, he wasn't weaving in the morning to go out.
And that's one massage session.
Yeah, and that is doing four horses. You know, he's one of four. And I didn't even get to him yet, and he was so much more calmer. So I wonder if there's some kind of, as the other horses were feeling the release of these massages, that other horses in the barn pick up on that.
They have to, surely.
Well, and the bad thing is about this, you can't measure that. You can't really measure tension in a horse. I guess you could do cortisol, saliva cortisol, but, you know, you're looking at muscle tension. And I think that's so hard to measure, although we did have that measured in that one dynamic mobilization exercise paper. But, you know, I don't
have... Could you use blink rate, do you think, to... Because I know that was Richard Moss that had the paper on blink rate as an identifier for pain, I believe that was. But I wonder if that's also tied in, because cortisol as well is a stress hormone. So if they have tension, if it's significant to cause stress or an increase in cortisol, then we might also see an increase in blink rate. Maybe we can look into and see, or if there's like, if tension will show in a grimace on the face as well or not. It's a really interesting thing, because this is what fascinated me the most about this, is I feel like Angel was like the underdog in this story. And I really just felt so drawn when you said it had that kind of impact on him. And I think it would be really cool. And we can have a look and see if there is a way that we can do like non-invasive measurements for tension in horses. But to have seen what an impact the massage has made. And at what point, Nancy, so within the program where you were doing the massage and then you did the sham test and then you did essentially what would be the control. So all the horses had the massage, then you went through a period where they all had the sham, and then a period where they all have nothing. Where along the line did the weaving start back again?
The fifth week, so day 28, you could tell he was starting to pick up a little nervousness. And then by the fifth week, it was back. And it was back, you know, limited, but definitely... By the time the grooming came around, he was back to trying to bite me when I was grooming him and all that. So he was back to himself within 3 weeks of concluding the massages.
And it's amazing that he would try and bite with grooming, but he tolerated the massage.
Yep, he tolerated it. That's why I thought this is going to be a wrestling match. You know, trying to get him to stand still for 10 minutes on each side massage was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And I took pictures of how relaxed he was standing, but it just doesn't say enough about him not weaving. I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. So it did tell me that, you know, he was I call him a hothouse thoroughbred. He was well-bred. Probably not turned out because they were afraid he was going to get hurt. And by the time I ended up with him, I brought him to my farm for a rehab. He had had throat surgery. He didn't even know he was a horse. I put him out in the pasture with the others after a couple weeks of being in the barn with them. And I put him alone in a round pen that had grass. It was a round paddock. And he was fine. The minute I put him out with one of the older horses, he was afraid. He had never seen a 10-acre pasture. He hid in a corner and would just have his head in that corner of the pasture and not want anything to do with it. So I slowly would turn him out an hour, bring him in. He was more comfortable in his stall and in small. So I had a farmer tell me, you're never going to get that horse to accept the pasture and the others. Well, I tell you, it took probably, Ed would know better than me, but I think it was about 3 months that, then he wants to go out. He wants to be out there with them, and he wants it so bad he weaves in the morning waiting for when he's going to get his halter on and we lead him out. So it was amazing that it stopped. And for me, this whole hind end massage was worth doing just to see that there's a way I can get that horse to stop weaving. Now, I did try 5 minutes on each side, did not get him to stop weaving. So I probably through the winter will do more of this program with him to lessen that stress that apparently he's feeling.
It's so incredible. And if anyone, any of the listeners, try this with their horse, particularly if your horse has a stereotypy, then please get in touch, because I would love to hear back. And in general, we would love to hear if you've implemented this with your horse, as Nancy's described it, 10 minutes on each side, and just to see if there has been a benefit, because I just find that so interesting that it's lowered the stress level to the point where I'm like, should we be booking ourselves in for monthly massages?
Well, and you know what really helped him is because of weaving, and he doesn't necessarily do the hind end weaving that some do. His is front end like an elephant. And so he weaves so bad that he'll like have indentations in the limestone of his sides of his hooves going back and forth.
Wow.
To the base of the stall, we always have to relime that area. So during this, we relimed it. And then on the second week, I did the massage. And you know, he was not even putting any indentations in that limestone. So, but his feet, because of the way he weaves using his front end, he puts a lot of weight on his hoof structure, and so he tends to want to spread at the sides of his hoof. And so his feet have really came around. They're much better, but he is a horse that definitely needs to have this massage done. And once a week, I can do him once a week, 10 minutes each side. That's not a problem. But I just thought it was interesting to quit and see what would happen. Would it return? And it did in a really, really short time.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But they did say that the expression of this behavior, and they're talking about weaving, does at times involve repetitive shifting of body weight from one front leg to the other, combined with a sideways swaying of the head. And that's him. That's exactly the description of, you know, his weaving. And it's amazing the hind end massage affected him not needing to do that, you know.
Yeah. So especially because to your mind, you would think massaging the front legs would improve it, you know, when it's the front legs that is the strain. So it's really interesting that a hind leg massage had an impact. And obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but there appears to be a link there with that stress level.
Yeah. And the body worker said it was, he probably has a nervous, reactive personality. It calmed the nerve, but it also calmed his stress and frustration. And it's probably stemmed from an earlier life when, you know, he was stalled in a racetrack and in a high pressure environment.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway,
it just goes to show how important that forage friends and freedom is for welfare.
Yeah, and he gets plenty of hay. Most of the time, they have free choice hay. I mean, sometimes in the mornings, I'll go in there and they will have eaten all their hay. But he tends to be, well, all the thoroughbreds tend to be a little bit on the lean side. So, you know, they can have free choice hay. Now, the pony, she gets more browsy hay then she gets the, you know, hay that's really nutritious. But I do try to give them access to the hay that's good for their nutrition and that they always have access to some.
Yeah. And Nancy, there were videos that people can look up for the massage technique, weren't there? I believe we said you can get them on YouTube.
Yeah, there are, especially the tapotement. That one, you know, I did have to get the advice of a massage therapist to use the plucking, and that my horses were not tolerating the downward movement. So she thought an upward movement would be more to their liking. And she was right.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So anyway, this was a good paper. Unfortunately, the paper was not open access, but I did list on my Instagram the muscles and where they are. And then I will also post Greta before and after pictures. And then I'll, for the heck of it, I'll post the picture of Angel resting comfortably in his stall. I will add, he never weaves out in the pasture. So it's definitely being confined.
Yeah.
Is the trigger. But, you know, when he comes in, he's been out 10 hours. So normally he does not want, just, he doesn't even want to really eat. He just wants to take a nap. So, you know, it's one of those things that you think you give them plenty of movement. They get forage friends and freedom. It's just, you know, the grasses have so much sugar in them when it's under stress. I can't let them be out there 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that's the results. And if anybody has any questions, just give us a shout out and we'll try and answer or find the answer for you, you know, through one of the specialists that I've kind of been talking to.
And on that note, if anyone does have any research, Nancy and I are always very excited for you to get in touch. I will say, I suppose, an apology ahead of time on my part, because Nancy looks after the Facebook page and is much quicker to respond. I look after the Instagram page, and the Instagram page is behind at present because I'm in the throes of doing a PhD and social media is having to take a backseat. So if you have reached out on Instagram, my apologies, I will get to those messages. And if you are looking for a quicker reply, then the Facebook might be the better way to go. But thank you to everyone so far who has written in and who has suggested. And we had some good feedback on this massage one when we first did the recording of that in August. So definitely worth a revisit. And please, please let us know if, you know, if you can. Are we able to put a question, Nancy, at the end of this on Spotify?
Yes, I can.
Because even if we could pop that on there, then people can just really quickly reply whether it's had an impact or not.
Yeah, that would be great. I'll do that. Go to the homepage and then I'll have a question at the end of the episode.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Nancy. And we'll talk again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Kate.
Take care. Bye.